Welcome back. We are here for our fourth session in this training series. It's our final session here, and we are going to be looking at the topic of group Bible studies and small companies or small groups within the church and how we can use these groups to win souls for God. So before we begin, before we open up the Bible, let's have a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank you so much for your blessings. We thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to study your word and your counsel for us. We pray, Lord, may you guide us by your spirit, by your grace, and by your wisdom here as we study these things. Please help us, Lord, to learn the lessons that we need to learn and to be able to use this information in practical and useful ways within our church, so that we can bring revival and win people for your kingdom. We thank you, Lord, for your help, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we are so blessed to be here and to be studying God's word. Looking at groups, certainly groups are very important. In fact, the church itself is a group or a community. It's a body of believers, and God tells us that we need to meet together. It's very important. In fact, it's even vital that Christians meet together. It's just like coals sitting in a fire. If those coals are all spread out by themselves, their light grows dim and their heat begins to go away. But when you push those coals all together in the fire, they start to burn hot. And they can even ignite a flame by their heat and putting it together. The same is true with Christians and coming together in fellowship, coming together in worship. We need to unite as Christians. The Bible tells us that we should come together and assemble all the more as we see the day approaching. That is the day of Christ's coming. We need to assemble more and more. And I believe that God had in mind that we should meet in person. That is the ultimate of being able to meet together and assemble. However, when we have challenges and difficulties that might present problems for us with meeting together, we can also use phone to connect with each other. We can also use the internet and communicate face to face over the internet. Granted, it's not as good, it's not as rich. Face-to-face, in person, is always going to be far better. And so God wants us to meet together as believers. We find this counsel in Hebrews 10:25. We also find it in Ephesians chapter 4 and verses 11 through 16, where God gives us this counsel for the need to come together. In fact, I'll read to you from Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11. The Bible says, "And he gave some apostles and some," let's see here, "some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers." Okay, so God has called together many leaders, and God has gifted people with the ability to teach and to preach and to bring messages of truth to his people. And notice verse 12, the purpose for this. We're in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 12. "For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." There is a great work to be done to edify or build up the body of Christ, to grow the body of Christ. And it says, "Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." And so here we find that meeting together as believers is important because God sends messengers to his people, right? God calls various teachers and preachers and leaders, even prophets, to minister to his people. And we all need to assemble and get together where we can hear the Word of God and where we can have fellowship one with another, as the Bible speaks about. So groups are definitely essential, such as there in the church. Now, besides large assemblies, smaller group meetings are also very important for believers. Meeting together for prayer, meeting together for evangelism, meeting together for Bible studies to feed the mind with truth. All of these are important, and we're going to see just how important as we are going through our lesson here together. And beyond just seeing the importance, we are also going to look at some of the practical aspects for how to hold group studies and activities more successfully in an organized way. So we're going to look at the following points. First of all, we will be looking at the call for gospel groups and how God gives us counsel and calls us to organize into gospel groups for various and yet related purposes. Secondly, we're going to look at groups and house churches in the New Testament and a little bit of information about what's going on here in modern times. Thirdly, we will be looking at blessings, the blessings of regular spiritual meetings and not neglecting those meetings. And fourth, we will be looking at practical organization of group ministries and group Bible studies. All right, so we've got lots of great stuff here to cover in our message, in our topic today. And we will begin with the call for gospel groups. In fact, God has given us much instruction about the need for assembly in small groups of believers. There's actually a lot of counsel that we have, and I'm going to share a number of important statements that gives us an idea of the kinds of assembly that God is calling His people to. Let's take a look at some of these. First of all, we must organize our gospel forces into evangelistic and missionary groups. Let's take a look at some statements here. Testimonies for the Church, Volume 9 and page 27. There's a statement that reads this way. Time is short and our forces must be organized to do a larger work. Very key to this is organization. Organizing the forces, the believers in the church, being organized and going forward to do a great work for God. Testimonies, Volume 7, page 21 and 22. There's a statement that reads this way. The formation of small companies as a basis of Christian effort has been presented to me by one, capital O, one, who cannot err. Okay, God alone is the one who cannot err. And God gave counsel to us, to our people, to our church, that the formation of small companies or groups as a basis for Christian effort was essential. All right? So God definitely wants us to form small companies or groups so that we can do His work more effectively. Notice this statement. In our churches, let companies be formed for service. Let different ones unite in labor as fishers of men. So here we have evangelistic outreach groups, all right? Companies or groups forming for service. Let them seek to gather souls from the corruption of the world into the saving purity of Christ's love. That's beautiful. That's also Testimonies, Volume 7 and page 21. The Church of Christ on earth was organized for missionary purposes, and the Lord desires to see the entire church, not just the pastor, not just a few members here or there, but in fact, the entire church. God wants total member involvement. He wants all of us to be working together for His cause, for His purpose, to win souls. We need to have this burden to win souls to Christ. It needs to be on our hearts, and we should pray that God will truly give us that burden in our hearts. And so the Lord desires to see the entire church devising ways and means whereby high and low, rich and poor, may hear the message of truth. We want to get God's message of truth out there to the people, and we need to be praying and putting our minds and hearts together, seeking answers from God and devising ways to reach the people in the world around us, whether they're high or low or rich or poor. We should be working on this. And so when it comes to groups, whether they are large or small, we should still be organizing them. Notice this statement here from the 7th volume of the Testimonies in page 22. If there is a large number in the church, let the members be formed into small companies. So if we have a church with a lot of people in it, we should form a number of small companies or groups who will work together in gospel service. This is very important counsel. Now, what if the church is a little bit smaller or perhaps mid-size? Well, the statement goes on to give more instruction. First, it says, let the members be formed into small companies to work not only for the church members, but for unbelievers. When we do group ministry or small company ministry, we are not only to work for the church members, although that is important. We need to do that to encourage each other in the way of truth and to grow spiritually. But we are also to work for unbelievers, to work for those who are outside of the faith. It says here, but for unbelievers, right? Not only for the church members, but for unbelievers. Okay, so work for both. And it says, if in one place there are only two or three who know the truth, let them form themselves into a band of workers. So if you have a very small church and you've just got two or three or four, maybe 10, these people can come together in the church and form groups to do service for God. Now we're going to see more about what happens within these groups as we look at some other statements here. But I think we're getting an idea of how important this call to ministry is and the call to form groups or small companies for doing God's work. Let there be in every church well-organized companies of workers to labor in the vicinity of the church. All right? Well, that's pretty important. And it says here, in every city, there should be a core of organized workers. Okay? A core of organized, well-disciplined workers, not merely one or two, but scores should be set to work. A lot of people, remember that God wants every one of us, every believer, every member, to be active in the work of evangelism and soul winning, and to share Bible studies and to pray and to do work together as a team. This is why group ministry is effective. There is teamwork that takes place, and we need to learn how to work effectively as teams for Christ. We can also be and should be like the early disciples as they were organized and they did health ministry and evangelistic ministry. We want to be doing the same. Okay, there is a very powerful statement along these lines which says, Christ sought the people where they were and placed before them the great truths in regard to his kingdom. As he went from place to place, he blessed and comforted the suffering and healed the sick. This is our work. In other words, we should be working as Christ did. As Jesus went from place to place with his group, with his assembled team of disciples, Jesus was going and ministering to the sick and the suffering and the poor, and he was sharing with them the words of life, the gospel. And we are to work in this way. It says, small companies are to go forth to do the work to which Christ appointed his disciples. So here we have small teams, small groups, small companies going out to labor. While laboring as evangelists, they can visit the sick, praying with them, and if need be, treating them, not with medicines, but with the remedies provided in nature. It is important that we learn more about natural remedies and how we can use these in ministering to the sick and helping people in our communities, praying for them and sharing the gospel, especially through sharing Christ's love in practical ways, as we've looked at in our previous presentation here in this series. Regular and active Bible study and prayer groups are needed. So here's another statement on this very important ministry. This is coming from Volume 7 of the Testimonies and page 195. And this is what it says. Let small companies assemble in the evening, at noon, or in the early morning to study the Bible. So here we have small group Bible studies. Is this encouraged in our church? Do we have counsel on this? Has the Lord instructed us that we should do these things? Yes, we should have small group ministry. All right, we have very clear counsel here. So let these small groups assemble, these companies, let them assemble in the evening, at noon, or in the early morning to study the Bible. So different times throughout the day, we can make a choice to get together with a group of believers and study the Word, but not only ministering for ourselves, although that part is important too, but also reaching out to people who are on the outside of our faith, or maybe even not that far away, but they're just kind of on the edges. Maybe we have some connections with them or loose connections. Maybe they're just around the church community, but they're not fully committed to Christ and they haven't come and fully made commitment to be a member of his church and his people in the last days. And so we need to reach out to these people and encourage them to come to Bible studies and to get together and study as a group. It continues, let them have a season of prayer that they may be strengthened, enlightened, and sanctified by the Holy Spirit. So we should have a season of prayer connected with these Bible studies. We should have at least several people, if not all people, praying from within the group and inviting the presence of the Lord, inviting His special blessing and the Holy Spirit to be a part of this work, of this ministry, asking God to change our hearts. It says, this work Christ wants to have done in the heart of every worker. Okay, there's a change of heart that takes place through this work, and God wants this work to be done. If you yourselves will open the door to receive it, a great blessing will come to you. Wow, that's awesome. A great blessing from the Lord. But you know, we have to be willing to open the door. We have to be willing to take the time to get involved in a group Bible study like this, to organize ourselves into a company, a small group of believers, and to study and pray and learn of God. All right, we need to be willing to do that. And so if we do that, if we're willing to open the door and to receive it, a great blessing will come to us. Angels of God will be in your assembly. Well, those are the kind of angels we want. Angels of God to be in our group meeting, not any other kind of angels. You will feed upon the leaves of the tree of life. That's such a beautiful statement. Think about that, the tree of life. Do we want to experience revival in our churches? We need life. Revive means live again, right? Live again. Revive. Vive is live. And so when we think about revival, we're thinking about coming to life again, spiritual life. And we need to experience those leaves from the tree of life that God wants to give us. Imagine eating those heavenly leaves and the life that we will have. Even though, yes, we're immortal, and yes, we're stuck in this world and we're stuck in this body for the time being, but imagine even now eating some leaves from the tree of life, receiving spiritual life and strength and energy from God in heaven above as we meet together and pray together and study the Bible together. God will bless us so that we will have fervent hearts, that we will be filled with His love, filled with His Spirit. And this is what God is looking to do in our lives right now. And it can be done as we choose to assemble together, to pray together, and to study the Word of God together. We need to do this much more often. The Bible counsels us in Hebrews 10:25, as we opened up with, that we should be doing this all the more as we see the day approaching, the day of Christ coming. And I believe from the evidence we can see that Christ coming is right around the corner. So we definitely need to do this, to spend more time with God and with our fellow believers in prayer and study of His Word. Now, evangelistic prayer and action groups are also needed. Not only the personal studies, but our personal group studies with just our church members, but also coming together to reach out to people, okay? To reach the world around us, to reach the dying around us. Notice this statement from the 7th volume of the Testimonies, page 21. Why do not believers feel a deeper, more earnest concern for those who are out of Christ? Why do not two or three meet together and plead with God for the salvation of some special one? And then still for another, in our churches, let companies be formed for service. Small groups, small companies, let them be formed for service in our churches. Let different ones unite in labor as fishers of men. Let them seek to gather souls from the corruption of the world into the saving purity of Christ's love. What a beautiful statement when you look at that whole statement, that God is calling us to come together and to pray for the salvation of souls, to come together in groups, and in fact, let these companies be formed for service, that we will pray and we will take action. We will go out to serve Christ, to serve our community, to go around like Jesus and His disciples went around, to organize evangelistic efforts, to go and do visitation ministry and prayer ministry and Bible study ministry, where you're bringing people to come and study with you, and you're building connections, you're building relationships, and you're doing Bible studies so that the truth is shared with people. This is what God really wants for His church. He wants us to come together and to do such a work. We need to have a true burden for souls and pray that God will give us that burden, and let's do it. Let's take God at His word. Let's take God at His counsel, and let's get these groups formed. Let's go do soul winning. Let's do the prayers. Let's do the Bible study. Watch and see the results that will come. God most definitely has some wonderful results. And I think that question, why do not two or three meet together and plead with God for the salvation of some special one and then still for another? That's so important. Why don't we come together and do that? Why not? Sometimes I think it's because we are running too much on our own lives, on our own things, and not enough on God's things. We're not prioritizing what is truly the most important. Sometimes we get ourselves into financial difficulties and we feel like we have to constantly be working outside to pay all the bills for our own concerns. Meanwhile, what's happening to the work of Christ? Meanwhile, what's happening to our souls? Are we connecting with Christ as we should? Are we connecting with each other as believers as we should? Or do we only see each other's faces once a week at church? And maybe some portion of the church members, we don't even know who they are, because we're living such busy lives separated from each other. We're running our own different directions, managing our own things and not the things of the Lord. This could really be a big part of the problem as to why we're not coming together and praying together for souls and for their salvation and studying the Bible together and doing outreach ministry together. We have not prioritized the work of the Lord and, in fact, spending time with the Lord. And because of this, we are missing so many spiritual blessings, and many souls are being lost and they're perishing. Meanwhile, what are we doing with our time that God has given us? It really belongs to God. Time belongs to Him. It's a resource that He has given us to be able to use. And so we have to look at this and think, can we make some adjustments? Can we have our lives changed in such a way that we can reprioritize and put God's priorities as number one, so that we can be doing what needs to be done, we can experience the blessings of heaven, and we can just get ready to go home. We can get ready to get out of here, because this world of sin is not our real home. What we need is to be together with Jesus in eternity, in the land wherein dwells only righteousness, no corruption, and no sin. That's really what we need. So let's pray for that. Let's maneuver for that. Let's go for that. And let God change our lives, make things new and fresh and good. Well, now let's look at our second point, and a second major point here, and that is groups and house churches, okay? We find in the New Testament there were some house churches that were used, and we're going to talk about the reason for those, and we're also going to talk a little bit about the modern house church movement and how this lies near to the concept of group Bible studies, but we're going to just look at a few points here, okay? So in the New Testament, many believers were operating churches from their homes. We find this in the book of Acts, and especially some of the letters that Paul wrote. We find it in there. But of course, there were very practical reasons why this was the case. Many of the believers in the first century had actually come out of Judaism, and they were booted out of the synagogues. They were kicked out eventually because of their Christian faith. And so the Christians had to go and assemble somewhere, and they chose to meet in homes. Whether large or small, they would find rooms and homes where they could go and meet. I think it's interesting that even the disciples of Jesus, when Jesus was here, they would often meet in places like the upper room. They would meet with Jesus for prayer and study and for talking about the work of evangelism. Pretty exciting when you look at the life of Jesus and his disciples. And I firmly believe that God wants us to have a life like this, where we are fully engaged and active in the work of mission, walking with Jesus every day, being a disciple of Jesus every day, and also being an apostle, or at least a minister, or somebody who's going out, not necessarily a formal gospel minister, but a Christian who is doing ministry for others, just like the disciples of Christ. I love the example there. So how about these house churches in the New Testament? The several verses that you'll find in your notes when you get them later, if you haven't already. Romans 16:5 mentions, likewise greet the church that is in their house. And then we have 1 Corinthians 16:19, where it speaks about the church that is in their house. This was Aquila and Priscilla. Okay, they had a church that was meeting in their house. And then Colossians 4:15, and the church which was in his house. This is the church which was in the house of Nymphas. His name is right here in the scripture. So he had a church in his house. And then we have Philemon chapter 1 and verse 2. Well, there's really only one chapter in that whole book. But it says, to our beloved Apphia and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in thy house, to the church in your house, in Philemon's house. And so we see that there were churches set up in these various houses. There were meetings, gospel meetings taking place. All right. Now, some in modern times have taken a look at what was happening there in the early church, and they're saying, well, we need to return to house churches instead of having larger formal church buildings. There are some who are promoting these ideas today, that we don't need to have a formal church building, but we should just meet in houses. When you look at the situation there, and when you look at what the Bible says in context, you will realize that that's not the case. That's not true, that we do not have to do that. Yes, there's a place and there's a time for having house church meetings, okay? But biblically, there is not a mandate or requirement to have a meeting in a home as opposed to a church building. Having church buildings is perfectly fine, biblically speaking. Notice here in Luke 4:16, and he, that is Jesus, came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. Jesus definitely went into the place of worship and he stood up there and he participated. He did a scripture reading right there in his church where he grew up, doing this his whole life growing up. So was there anything wrong with that, with having a church building for assembly? No, certainly not. But part of the problem with the synagogue was that when he spoke the truth, they didn't want to hear it. In fact, if you read this story and others in the New Testament, in the Gospels, you will see that they got angry with Jesus and they wanted to take him out and throw him over the hill. So they didn't like what he said. And this was the problem, that the church had become very stagnant and stale, and they were refusing truth. They were fighting against the truth and they were not doing the will of God. And because of this, these believers had to meet in other places and share the truth. So there was a very practical need for them to come together to form house churches where they could freely express the mutual faith that they had in Christ. And we see similar trends in the Advent movement in the early days of Adventism, that believers were coming from various churches where they were even kicked out of their churches, such as Ellen Harmon or Ellen White and her family. She was a Harmon, first of all, and they were kicked out of their church, the Methodist Church. And many of these believers had to meet in barns and homes and different places because they did not have the resources or the buildings. Okay, so we can keep in mind that there is a place and time for house churches, but it's not wrong to have also our structured churches. We just need to keep the faith of Christ alive in our churches and bring revival to our churches and work as Christ worked and go out and share love with people and share the truth with people. And yes, it is true that there are people out there in the world today who will not just step foot into a church. There are many people who are very reserved about coming into a church building. So we can reach them where they are. Jesus often went out and reached people where they were, whether that was in a home, when they were having dinner, where Jesus would do some Bible studies. He would share in homes to small groups of people. Look in the New Testament, it's there. Jesus did this kind of ministry. So that might be a place. Also, Jesus went out by the riverside, and Jesus went out on the hills of Galilee and Judea and all sorts of places. Jesus was out there preaching and teaching along the shores of the lake of Galilee. Jesus was teaching on the hillside in the grass. Jesus was teaching. All right, so we have many examples of Jesus teaching in these places. He also taught in the temple in Jerusalem when the feasts would occur. And when many people would come from the known world all around, they would travel far to Jerusalem for these big events in Judaism. And Jesus would take advantage of those opportunities. He would meet the people where they were, and he would teach and preach the Word of God. So we do need to meet people where they are, and there's a place and a reason for having some possible house churches, but we should not forsake the assembly together. And there's no need to forsake a wonderful church building when we can use it for the ministry of Jesus Christ. But you notice that sometimes even in evangelism, we will open up our meetings in a public hall just because of it being a neutral setting. Some people who are not accustomed to a church or comfortable coming in there, they like that neutral setting. So these are some possible advantages for reaching certain people who are outside of our church community, but there's no reason that they can't come to a church after they get to know the believers and get comfortable with the faith of Jesus Christ. So we can see how these things can work together and how we can do the work of the Lord. So New Testament believers often did meet in house churches because they had a very practical reason to do so. They had been persecuted and they were kicked out of the synagogues. Okay, for us today, we should hold Bible studies in our homes, group Bible studies. And we should form house churches only when it's practical to do so, when there's a need to do so. Perhaps because of persecution, perhaps because there's a special need to reach people who are outside of the faith and not comfortable entering our churches. All right, so we might need to plant churches in unreached territories where we don't even have a church building. So there are a number of different reasons why we might need to hold some meetings in a home or even hold some church meetings, like a branch Sabbath school type of idea. Hold this in a different area and be church planting and starting new congregations and building up the work of Jesus Christ. Reaching out to our communities where they are. We can form groups for prayer, for study, for evangelism, and for testimony, for accountability, for support. There's a number of reasons why we would be blessed with a group and with group studies. If larger group meetings or assemblies are banned by the state, like has kind of happened in recent times here, smaller groups meeting in homes might be a safe and effective alternative. We have to consider, what are the possibilities? How can we still be organized? How can we still meet with the believers? And how can we still do God's work? There will be other challenges coming our way. We know this for sure from Bible prophecy. And we are going to need to deal with those things. We might not be able to meet in our churches. We might have to be meeting in small groups. And believe it or not, there's some churches that have gone completely corrupt. And you know, some people who have been very faithful saints have been driven out of certain congregations just because they don't want to be there, because things have gone so far south. And I pray to God that's not the case with your church or my church. I pray to God that's not the case. But to be real, we do know that there are challenges going on within God's work, all right? So we need to just make sure that we are doing what Christ wants us to do, and that we are doing everything we can to work with and to help the church, but also that we are faithfully carrying on the faith of Christ and having a living faith and not a dead faith. So be organized, and be organized in troubled times. Sometimes small meetings will be very helpful when the church is challenged by various factors, either from outside or from within. Okay, we see this even in the New Testament. They did have certain challenges with some of the churches, okay, a number of them. Okay, so we look at that in the New Testament letters that Paul wrote. And we deal with challenges today too. But God's church is still God's church, and we need to work together and come together as much as we possibly can. Well, let's take a look now at our third point, which is blessings of regular spiritual meetings. Okay, we should not neglect regular spiritual meetings, and this means the assembling of groups for connecting together, praying together, worshiping, and doing God's work. Okay, we need to get together. And sometimes we are, again, prioritizing other things that is keeping us from really connecting as we need to connect. But there's an incredible statement here I want to share with you. This is from the seventh volume of the Testimonies in page 195. And it says this: many seem to think the time lost that is devoted to seeking the Lord. Have you ever experienced that or felt that, where you thought, oh, well, I don't really have time to pray or read my Bible because I need to do all these other things? Well, the problem is we are prioritizing the wrong things when we do that, and the result is that we will be left empty spiritually instead of being filled up like we need to be. We should not neglect the Lord or spending time with Him in devotion and prayer every morning, okay? We need more than just 5 minutes, that's for sure. We need to spend more time with the Lord. Linger at the feet of Jesus as Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus in the New Testament. We need to make that good choice and choose that better part. Spend time with the Lord at the feet of Jesus, learning of Him every day. And this applies also in the group meetings and the public worship times, that we should not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. We should not think that the time is lost when we have devoted it to seeking God. In fact, when we devote time to seeking God, He will bless us in incredible ways, and we will be all the more efficient in doing the things that need to be done. So imagine that, trying to run on our own accord to do things and neglecting God, then we lose God's grace and God's blessings. And Jesus said, if a man gains the whole world and loses his own soul, what good is it? Right? There is no good to that. So we should prioritize God and time with Him and put Him as number one, and then realize, hey, as we seek the Lord right now here, quietly, in our personal worship, and also as we come together for prayer meeting, which today, sadly, in many churches, it's hardly even existent. It's hardly even happening in many churches. The pastor might call a meeting for prayer, and maybe two people show up, if two people in some cases. This is a sad reality in many places, and we don't want it to be our reality. Let's be the on-fire believers for Christ. Let's be the on-fire church for Jesus Christ. Let's support the work of God. Let's come together. Let's assemble and be devoted to Him. Let's spend time in prayer and study of God's Word together as believers. So think about this. Our efficiency will be improved. God's blessing will go with us as we spend time in these meetings together. I'll continue here with a quotation. It says, "But when He comes in to cooperate with human effort," that is the Lord, "when He comes in to cooperate with us, and men and women cooperate with Him," so we choose to cooperate with God, "a marked change will be seen in the work and in the results." Wow. Notice that, a marked change. When we go with God's blessing, it's evident, it's noticeable, okay? And this is what Christ wants us to experience. And so it says here, "Every heart that has been visited by the bright beams of the Son of Righteousness will reveal the working of the Spirit of God in voice, mind, and character. The machinery will move as if oiled and guided by a masterly hand." That's incredible to think about, how God's blessing will rest upon us and we can move and be efficient, oiled by the heavenly oil. Think about that. The heavenly oil of God's Spirit. And so the work that we do will be far more efficient because we have spent the time with the Lord in prayer and devotion, personally and corporately and in smaller groups, right? God's special blessing will rest there when we gather. Doesn't the Bible say that when two or three gather together in His name, He is there in our midst? He is there with us? Absolutely. And what is that anyway? That's a small group coming together for prayer, to pray for souls and for God's blessing and to do His work. So it continues here to say, "There will be less friction when the Spirit of the worker receives the oil from the two olive branches. The holy influence will be imparted to others in words of kindness, tenderness, love, and encouragement." That's beautiful, right? The grace of Jesus will be in our hearts. The oil of the Holy Spirit will be in our hearts, okay? The Bible is using symbols, and Sister White here is mentioning these biblical symbols of the two olive trees. It actually comes from Zechariah chapter 4, and verse 3, and also 5 through 6. To summarize that section of text, God says, "Not by might nor by power, but by My Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts." And these two olive trees are pictured there, and the oil is running to feed the flame. All right? And how is it the flame can burn continually? It's from the oil that's continually coming. We need oil, the refreshing oil of God's grace and God's Spirit to fill us, to let our lamps burn brightly, to let the fire burn, and that God can use us, each one, in a powerful way because we are filled with His Spirit and blessed by Him. This can only be accomplished when we prioritize God, spending time with Him and assembling with other believers to pray and seek the Lord and do His will and do His work. Right? This is the only way that we can really receive the blessing of God. Because the Lord says, not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit. It only happens by God's blessing. If you try to go in your own strength, it will be nothing compared to what can really happen if you went out with the Lord's blessing. If you sought God first and then went with His blessing, then your work would be so much more efficient. The same is true for me or for anyone. Our work will be more efficient when we are filled with the Holy Spirit and led by God. And this is what God says. Do we trust God? We must trust Him and His Word. It's by His Spirit that things must be done. Examples of fellowship and group Bible study in the Old Testament and New Testament church. I'll just share a couple thoughts here, and you can read some more of this in your notes later, or go research the texts. But we see in the Bible that planting the seeds of truth in the hearts of His people was essential. In Exodus 20, God gave His people the law. He read it aloud to them. He gave them the truth, and He gave it through Moses. 40 years later, before entering the promised land, in Deuteronomy 5, Moses reads again the law of God to the people, planting the truth in their minds, in their hearts. The seeds of truth were planted. God said in Deuteronomy 31 that every 7 years, the entire law, that is the entire five books that the Bible is founded upon, from Genesis to Deuteronomy, okay, all of this was to be read to the people. They were to hear the truth and to learn it and to be familiar with it, intimate with it. Every 7 years, that was to be repeated to make sure that in a public setting, they heard the Word of God. Also, we find that God commissioned His people to teach diligently the truth amongst themselves, to remind themselves of it, and to teach it to their children. This is in Deuteronomy 6, verses 6 through 9. And I'll let you look it up and read it afterwards. Read it later. Okay? Beautiful text. God wants us to be saturated with His Word. In the New Testament, Jesus commissioned His followers in Matthew 28 to go out into all the world and to preach and teach the gospel of Jesus Christ, to teach them to live by every word that God has spoken, to follow all of His commandments and teachings. Okay? The Bible tells us that we need to study out the Word of God. In Acts chapter 2, verse 41 through 47, we find the New Testament church, the early church, filled with the Holy Spirit. They were in close fellowship together, working together in harmony, and we find that they were studying the Word of God. They were following closely the apostles' teaching. They were breaking bread together. They were praying together in groups, and God was blessing them, not only blessing their group, but even adding to their group and letting them be an evangelistic force to win souls for the kingdom of heaven. God was adding to the church daily those who were being saved. So there was a growing group because they were filled with the Holy Spirit, growing and studying together. God was able to bring in more people, and they all were able to work together. And it wasn't like the church is doing their own thing, and then God brings in one soul, and then that soul sees that the church doesn't really care about the Lord, and that soul goes out again. No, not this kind of situation, which we unfortunately see too often today. But instead, the believers were on fire, and there was a safe place for God to bring other people who were being won to Him. This is what we need today. Our hearts need to be changed. Our churches must be changed. Our lives must be changed. We must be working together for the Lord and studying and sharing His Word. So let's give a little summary on what are groups and group studies to be used for. All right, what have we seen so far? Well, first of all, there are prayer groups. We need to assemble and pray. There are Bible study groups to share the Word of God, meet together and study the Word of God at morning and noon or night, whenever we get a chance. Let's make a time and meet together. Let's assemble to study. Testimony circles, sharing what God is doing in our lives to encourage each other. Planting the seeds of God's truth. This is to take place in our groups, in our group Bible studies. Spiritual growth takes place in groups. Connecting with God's Spirit happens there. Spiritual transformation takes place in groups and studying together. Also, growth in character, and we learn how to work together in love with each other. The ministry to church members and also to unbelievers or non-members, this is to take place in group Bible studies, okay? And also mission groups. Medical missionary work is to be done by teams and groups who are laboring for souls. Medical missionary work, evangelism, modeling after Christ's ministry as Jesus worked with his disciples with a small group, and he taught them and trained them, and they did things together. This should be happening in our churches. As Jesus walked, so should we. We must walk like he did. Smaller church fellowship and study when needs are so require. So when there's trouble around, when we need to form groups, smaller groups to meet because maybe we can't meet in the larger places. Okay, these are opportunities to have small groups and build up our faith there, and also to extend the mission to unreached territories. These are wonderful times for small groups and even house churches as we're building up the work in new territories, as we're planting churches, as we're working in this way. We should be thinking big as Christians and as believers, as followers of Jesus. We want to grow the church. It is the dearest thing to God's heart to grow his church and to save souls. He does not want any to perish if they can possibly be reached and saved. And if it's the dearest thing to the heart of Jesus, it should be the dearest thing to our hearts, that we will be prioritizing God's work and thinking about how we can go out there and win souls for his kingdom. So what a blessing group Bible studies can be, truly. And that brings us to our final point, that all these things are awesome, they're wonderful, we're called to do them, we should not neglect them. But the next question is, the final question is, how can we do these things effectively? What do we really have to think about when it comes to organizing groups? Well, there's a number of things that we should think about, and I'll share some of them here. Group term lengths. How long should our group activity last? Is this an ongoing group, or is this going to be a group that meets for a certain amount of time, and then we disassemble, and then we meet again, or start again, or study something else? You know, how is this going to work? Obviously, some of the groups we've talked about should be ongoing for longer periods of time, but maybe we have a period of months in which to work before some special event, and we need to be forming some groups and work for those months, and then we need to focus on something else, and yet it's the same work, but it's just a different phase of the work. We should consider those things. All right, so what is the best kind of lengths for these groups? Also, group sizes and growth plans. What size should the groups be, large or small? We've looked at some of the possibilities already. Relationship to the church. How does my group relate to the church? Well, it really should be a good relationship. That's what we want to preserve, that we're all working together. We're all part of the same church. Evangelism plans. How do we relate? The structure of the group, the purpose, the direction, what we're doing. Also looking at quality and qualified leaders. Yes, God qualifies us, right? But we need to be working with the Lord and to have those qualifications. So, qualified leadership and also training new leaders. Okay, there is a work to do so that we can train more effective leaders. Jesus did that very work when he trained his disciples. And we should do this work too. Out in the world today, they're training teams, they're training leaders. Why? Because they know it's important. But let's take it from Jesus. He already showed us it's very important to train leaders. Subject matter for study. What are we going to study? and our approach to the group or to the study? How will we do it? Are there guidelines in the group, controls or rules? Or is it a centralized structure? Is it a relaxed grassroots kind of band of people working together? How is the group structured? Promotion of groups, such as study groups, how do we promote them? And how do we enter these groups? Plus, membership agreements or guidelines as might be needed for certain groups. Okay, so actually there's a number of things here, but the Bible gives us counsel that helps direct us and guide us in these questions, and the spirit of prophecy gives us guidance and counsel that helps us get some ideas on all of this. Now, I will share briefly with you a couple different persons and resources regarding groups and group Bible study that many have found to be helpful. There's a man by the name of Milton Adams who promoted the growth groups within the Adventist Church. Okay, he is an Adventist minister, or at least he has been an Adventist minister, and he studied at Andrews. Okay, but he is specialized in groups. And most recently, he's been doing house churches, focusing on a house church movement to reach the unreached, okay, who are outside of the normal church setting, who might not even want to come in through the doors of our churches. But he's out there trying to work through a house church setting, and he's doing this work. For many years, he worked with the growth groups model of Bible studies, and he actually taught lessons on doing those growth groups. When doing that, he used a Bible that actually many other people also have utilized through the years, and it is this Bible called the Serendipity Bible for groups. All right, it's not written by Adventists, so you kind of have to take some things with a grain of salt. A lot of stuff in there is useful to us, but some things, if it's not useful, you should probably adapt it. Adapt it for our specific purpose. You don't have to use it exactly like it is, but it does give some pretty helpful questions and format for groups, such as an icebreaker question or two that you can use with your group. It gives you some study questions and a passage to study and a basic topic that you can study, and you're going to read that passage and study what the scripture says. Also, it'll give you a heart question, something to really think about and apply from the scripture. And the focus in these groups is oftentimes relationships, building relations with each other and connecting to God and relating to the stories in the Bible. All of that's in there. And learning biblical teachings. But this here kind of Bible has a number of studies that are all laid out for men, for women, for singles, for marriage, for parenting, for youth, for the marketplace, for spirituality, for special needs, and even recovery groups. And they're set up with basically all lessons of 6 or 12. You can choose if you're going to do 6 lessons or 12. I think they're mostly in groups of 6, but you can put them together, starting with the beginner ones and the advanced ones within the same topic category. Or you can study one topic category for 6 lessons and then pick another one for the other 6 lessons. So there are some pretty good options here. I've heard that it's kind of hard to find them. They're not always in print today, but if you go to Amazon or Google, you should be able to find some copies of this Bible. I have a couple of them at home, and I find them pretty useful when doing group Bible studies. So you can take some information there and use it, apply it in your groups and in studying with people. And you don't even have to use the Bible itself in the group study, but you can draw resource material from it, and then use your Bible, whatever Bible you want the group to use, you can do that. Okay, so that is just a resource that's available. In your notes, you can learn more about Milton's ministry, and there's some materials there if you need more information about how to do some of these Bible studies. He has some information there online. You'll find it in your notes, okay? Another system for Bible studies is the Activate Bible Study Ministry. It's a book that's written by Nelson CRC. Nelson CRC and Carrick Thomas. There's a couple authors there. This was written by them. The book is called Activate, an entirely new approach to group Bible studies. And I was introduced to this resource through a course that I took with Pastor Mark Finley through my classes with Southern Adventist University. And so I was introduced to this book, but I think it's a very good book on organizing group Bible studies. It has a lot of great organizational ideas. These men are not Adventists, but the idea for group Bible studies comes from the Bible anyway, right? And they are very effective at organizing. That is what I will say we can really learn from these guys and from this book, is that they have a wonderful system for organizing group Bible studies. And if you take a look at it, I think that we can learn some really good lessons for how to keep together as a church and develop some group Bible study related activities. So you can also Google and learn more about that resource. The information is right here in the notes, and you can check it out and learn more about it. Additionally, you will find some other papers that give you ideas from the book and some ideas for organizing group Bible studies effectively within a church setting. So you'll be able to see those in your additional papers and materials for this week's lesson. All right, all of it is online. Now, book studies, okay? What can we say about studying books, like besides the Bible? You know, some people want to get together and have a book group or something. And I think there's certainly a place for that and also for building connections. But I would say that we should ask some important questions before we launch out into the study of a book, because you know people have been doing book groups for a long time, and in the Adventist Church we've had you know different book groups and studies, and some people find it as a great social life and connection. But I think there's some questions we should ask discriminately when we select a resource or a book to be studied besides the Bible or something that we know is a very good and solid Adventist resource. Let's ask some questions. First of all, how quality is the resource? Okay. Is it in line with our faith? That's the second question. Okay. Is it really biblical and on point theologically with our faith? Because we don't want to be wasting our time using material that will mislead people who come to our group. We have a lot of truth to study, a lot of good things to study and share. Okay, if it's in line with those things, if it's good quality book and it's biblical and not teaching false things, then it might be a better option. Just think about these questions. Thirdly, is it the best use of our time to spend our time studying this book? Is it a good one that's worth it? Is it in line with what God would want us to study and use our time on? Fourthly, are we leading people deeper into a relationship with Christ and His Word through this particular study? Is that taking place? And fifthly, will the Holy Spirit bless this? Is this what God wants us to do? Is this what God wants us to study? We should ask those questions. I believe that primarily we should be studying the Bibles. Go to the source of truth directly. Go to God's Word. Study out what it has to say. Read it and share the Bible in our groups. There's wonderful ways to relate on numerous topics in Scripture. And we don't really have to go out to these other sources when we have so much truth right there. So there might be a time and place for studying certain books that are of a very good quality. But I would say the book of books should be the ultimate book that we are studying and focusing on in our groups, so that people can learn the Bible, learn the Scriptures for this time, relate to the truth as it is in God's Word. All right? So that's what we have to say on book study groups. And as far as organization, I've already mentioned the resources that are available. I will also mention that group Bible studies are a widespread idea. There are many other churches who are doing group Bible studies as an evangelistic ministry, and they're doing it very effectively, many of them. Now, I'm not suggesting we just do something because other churches are doing it. I believe we should do something because God says it's valuable. And I believe that the Bible tells us that it is valuable, and the counsel we have in the spirit of prophecy tells us that we should be using group Bible studies and prayer groups and evangelistic groups and all of these things. God is telling us we should use these resources to reach the world around us. So I hope that we will incorporate these things because it is true and good. And because God will bless us, there will be many benefits. We will see people won, souls won for Christ. As we engage in these group studies and group ministries and activities for the kingdom of God, and as we engage in prayer groups, we will see revival taking place. We will be blessed in many, many ways. And really, this is what God wants to see in our lives today. So I pray that we can experience this in our church, and I pray for our church there in Texas and other churches that may be watching this here in the future. I just pray that you will experience the special blessing of God's Word and really put to use these principles and ideas and truths and see radical changes in a good way for the kingdom of Christ, that we can share the message of God. And so I just pray and I ask today, are we willing to be a part of a biblically founded, prayerful, evangelistic group Bible study and ministry? Are we willing to do that? And I pray that it would be so. Shall we all stand right where we are? Shall we stand and ask the Lord's special blessing? Ask Him to guide us by His wisdom and counsel in these things, to spread His word to the ends of the earth. Shall we pray? Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we thank You so much for Your love. We thank You for Your incredible blessings as they are in Jesus Christ. We thank You, Lord, for Your truth. We pray, may You guide us, Lord, guide our souls in Your way. Help us to follow the things that we have learned. Help us to employ these truths in our lives. Let us form groups, Lord. May You guide us in forming groups for prayer and for evangelistic ministry and service and for Bible studies among the believers, but not only among us, but let us invite people to come and study and learn. Lord, let us reach out to the community through group Bible studies. So I pray, may You guide us in these things and bless us, Lord, by Your Spirit and Your love, that we might be used by You. For this we thank You and pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, thank you so much, everyone, for tuning in for this presentation and also this entire series. It has been a wonderful blessing to study the Word of God with you. And I pray that the results will be life-changing for eternity, and that new life and revival will be brought to the church, that a great work will be done in your church and your community as God is calling each of us in our community, in our place, to do a special work for Him. So I just pray, may the Lord guide you and all of us in this special work for this time. And I also hope you enjoy your group discussion questions as you do that portion here after the presentation. So may God bless you, and hopefully we'll get a chance to meet again this side of eternity or in the ages to come. As the Lord wills, may it be so. God bless you, and take care. Thanks so much for being a part of this special training program. All right, blessings.